Hello and welcome to Eyes to See Decodes. This is going to be my inaugural video on Groundhog Day. My name is Chris. I'm going to be your guide as we go through this, and let's begin. My methods of decoding are primarily the Chaldean Gematria cipher. This cipher is based on the numbers 1 to 8, based on the phonetics of the letters themselves, so the sounds that the letters make. Just like the musical scale, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, same as the Chaldean Gematria cipher. The letters are grouped up by sound. It is the oldest cipher we know, so it has that antiquity. It pairs very well with the standard English ordinal cipher, which is just grouping up the letters and arranging them from 1 to 26, which allows us to look at A as 1 and Z as 26. The other method I use for decoding numbers is the Bible, and with that I go to the Strong's Concordance of the Bible, where the ancient Hebrew of the Old Testament and the Greek in the New Testament are arranged by numbers, and we can look at those numbers and extract meanings. I then go to the Royal Society of Chemistry and look at the periodic table of elements. Then I use the Cards of Destiny and the Tarot system to break down dates, and sometimes I'll use the infinite string of pi and the infinite string of phi as well to gain some insights into the numbers. Occasionally, I'll use some astrology, and this is all based on numerology in principle as well. So let's begin Groundhog Day. So starting off at Groundhog Day, running the word Groundhog Day in the English ordinal cipher, we see that we get a sum score of 139. That being a high number, going to the Bible, we see that the number 139 is a choice right there, a choice or an opinion, a religious or philosophical sect. And we'll see at the end of the movie that Bill Murray has to make a choice on what he's going to do, and that's going to be determining whether he gets to stay or leave Punxsutawney. The next system we'll check is we'll run Groundhog Day in the Chaldean cipher, and we'll see that it gives us a sum score of 48. The number 48 is tied to cadmium in the periodic table of elements. Cadmium represents Earth, and as you'll see, cadmium is a naturally occurring in Earth's crust. The image that's provided by the Royal Society of Chemistry includes an alchemical symbol, you'll see that here, that once was used to represent Earth or Earth elements against a background or projection of the Earth. So we can see here that 48 is giving us a big hit on Earth. Cadmium's atomic weight is 112. 112 is tied to the Virgin, and I did a decode on the number 112 for all you out there that's been following me, and if not, for those newcomers, you can go and read that decode, and you'll see that it's tied to the Virgin. 48 is also the sum score of Rita in the English ordinal cipher, and you'll see Rita down here in the bottom right corner. She's doing the thinker pose, which we'll break down in a little bit. Rita is also an 8 in Chaldean. And we generally notice with time travel movies or any movies that are related with time that the number 8 or the number 88 shows up quite often. The biggest reference I would say would be Back to the Future with the 88 miles an hour. Looking at 48 in Chaldean, we can see that the numerology matches other words within the Chaldean. So these are numerical synonyms. So Groundhog Day is a 48, matching the word horror movie, matching the word good morning, the soul trap, circle of fire, and hamster wheel. Now, just to give a bit of basics on where this decode's going to go, I thought I'd break down a very important verse from Genesis here. Using the Strong's Concordance and ESORD, we can see here that Genesis 1:26, which is where it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness." We see here that the word God in Genesis 1:26 is was originally translated from Hebrew and has the Hebrew number Hebrew 430. And Hebrew 430 in the Bible is the word Elohim, which means angels, God. It's plural, and it means gods in the ordinary sense, but specifically used of the supreme God. So it's synonymous with the word angels, judges, and magistrates. So we can read that now as, and Elohim, gods, said, let us make man, which is Hebrew word 120, which is man or mankind. It's also the lowercase form of Adam. So that's pronounced Adam, not the Adam and Eve Adam. I would call it the human host body or an avatar. So it says, and God said, let us make man in our image. And the word image here is the Hebrew word 6754. So 6754 in Strong's is the word image or vain show, like a vanity show. And it's from an unused root meaning to shade. And what's happening there is being light bodies, or the flesh shades are light. So that's what's going on there. So it means to shade, a phantom, figuratively an illusion, a resemblance, hence a representative figure, especially an idol. And what we learn in the Bible is that we're not supposed to worship idols, and the reason is our body is that idol. It's the vanity show, and you can see how that plays in. So looking at the folklore off of Wikipedia, and we're going to learn here about what Groundhog Day is. So on February 2nd each year, Punxsutawney holds a civic festival with music and food during the ceremony, which begins before the winter sunrise. Phil emerges from his temporary home on Gobbler's Knob, located in a rural area about 2 miles southeast of the town. According to the tradition, if Phil sees his shadow and returns to his hole, he has predicted 6 more weeks of winter-like weather. If Phil does not see his shadow, he has predicted an early spring. Punxsutawney's event is the most famous of many Groundhog Day festivals held in the United States and Canada. The event formally began in 1887, although its roots go back even further. The event is based upon a communal, light-hearted suspension of disbelief. It is organized by the inner circle, recognizable by their top hats and tuxedos, who ostensibly communicate with Phil to receive his prognostication. This suspension of disbelief extends to the assertion that the same groundhog has been making predictions since the 19th century. And you can see here the gentleman in the top hat, and he is a member of the inner circle holding up Punxsutawney Phil here. So Gobbler's Knob in English is a 122. 122 in Strong's, or in the Bible, is of a goat. And you can see here that one of the principal tenets of Satanism is to turn Jesus' sheep into fornicating goats. If Phil doesn't see his shadow, he's going to have an early spring. Early spring is a 144. This number is a special number because it relates to the Bible, where it shows us that it's the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. And that's in Revelation 14:3. And you can see there that 14:3 is an anagram of pi, 314. The event began in 1887. 1887 in the Bible means tomorrow, which is on the next day, which is the entire premise of the movie, is that Phil here is living Groundhog Day every day, and he's just trying to get to tomorrow. Now, going back to Genesis 1:26, we see here Phil is a representation of us, and if Phil sees his shadow, well, that means he's in flesh, and he will return to his hole, and then he has predicted 6 more weeks of winter-like weather, where the winter synonymous with death, and 6 is synonymous with the hexagon, and the 6 weeks breaks down to 42 days, which is another version of pi, as 42 is a very well-used representation of pi, as it's 3 times 14. It's also 13, 14, and 15, which add up to pi, which is where we also find pi on an infinite number line. 6 is also the hexagon. We see there the beehive symbolism of the hexagon. And February 2nd is a representative of the number 22. And the number 22 is known as the master builder number. There's three master numbers, 11, 22, and 33, 22 being one of them. Looking at the poster for Groundhog Day, we see Bill Murray, who plays the character Phil Connors, stuck inside a alarm clock. Phil's giving us eight fingers. So we see the famous number eight here in the imagery. And then we see Rita in the bottom right corner posing with her hand under her chin, similarly to the Thinker. It's a famous statue. But what most people don't realize is the Thinker was initially named the Poet and was part of a large commission began in 1880 for a doorway surround called the Gates of Hell. So when we break down the words the Gates of Hell, we see that it's a 143 in English, matching Phil Connors, the name of the character that Bill Murray plays, also matching the Inner Circle, which is the gentleman with the top hats who hold up Punxsutawney Phil. And 143 is just an anagram for pi. The Thinker, as well, is a 38 in Chaldean, which matches the Poet, which was its original name, also matching You're a Titan, the Saturn Matrix, Vesica Pisces, Life is a Dream, Slumberland, Atomic Clock, Flesh Suit, Channel 9, Weatherman, The Choice, and King Tantalus, who we'll see later on in this decode. There's an image here of the WPBH Action News, which is off the van that Phil arrives in Punxsutawney in, and you can see the spotlights make a double X for the twin X symbology there. The Thinker in English ordinal is 118, which can be observed as 11 times 8, or the number 88 again, showing us the 88 miles an hour. So here she is posing as the Thinker, which is from the Gates of Hell. The Thinker is a 118, giving us the 88, and Phil as well is giving us the number 8 representation as well on the poster. So we get lots of 8s and 88s symbols for this movie. Moving on. So when Phil leaves the news station in the van, and he's driving to Punxsutawney with Rita and Larry the cameraman, they round a corner, and I took a screenshot of that, and that was at 5 minutes and 35 seconds into the movie. The number 535 within the string of pi is the eighth digit, matching Rita, again in Chaldean, also Mary and Isis. So we definitely see some female goddess imagery there with the number 8. He gets off at exit 22. Again, that's February 2nd for Groundhog Day, and 22 is the master builder number. And it says the exit with the arrow to the upper right for Marchand Punxsutawney. That's to the 119 north. 119 is a big number. It's the 911 number in reverse. And 119 in English is known for being the all-seeing eye. So Marchand Punxsutawney, as what we see there on the sign, sums to 80 in Chaldean. In numerology, we can ignore the zero, as it's a null value, giving us the number 8 again. And then 80 matching on the periodic table of elements with the element mercury. Mercury has an atomic weight, 200. The number 200 reminds us of the 200 fallen angels from the Book of Enoch. And the artwork here provided by the Royal Society of Chemistry shows us the alchemical symbol for mercury, the little devil. And in the background, if you pay close attention, you can actually see the snake eating its tail for the Ouroboros, the life, death, rebirth cycle. 22 on the periodic table of elements is titanium. And you can see the imagery again on the Royal Society of Chemistry is an image of a man. And the name is derived from the Titans, the sons of the earth goddess of Greek mythology. Titans being the gods, or the Elohim. So trapped is 80 in English, also matching round and around we go in Chaldean. And so after he rounds the corner, the next scene shows us the van driving under this giant sign that says "Welcome to Punxsutawney" on it. And then when we take "Welcome to Punxsutawney" and put it in the calculator, we see that "Welcome to Punxsutawney" is 314, which is a perfect match to pi. There's lots going on here in this image. Food and lodging sums to 52 in Chaldean. And 52 is a match to the 52nd element on the periodic table, tellurium, which is named after the Earth, Tellus. And 52 matches, it's a day of polka, which is the you'll when you watch the movie, every time he goes to the Groundhog Day festivals, there's polka music playing, and the song that they're repeatedly singing is called "It's a Day of Polka." If you can see the speed limit sign at 35. 35 matches the word simulation in Chaldean, and it also matches the words giant leech, which is precisely what Phil says to Rita after he meets Ned for the first time. Looking further into the sign, we see that under the "Welcome to Punxsutawney," it says the original weather capital of the world. The original weather capital of the world sums to the number 137 in Chaldean. The number 137 is a special number. It's known as the 33rd prime number. The number 33 is one of the three master numbers, 11, 22, and 33. And 33 is a number of ascension. It's the age and year that Jesus was crucified. And we can see here the vans driving under it. So with food and lodging, you're representative of the earth and pi. And the number 33, we can see here that as the van is symbolically driving, he's arriving on Earth, which will be Punxsutawney, where he has to live every day over and over and over again. The population on the sign is 6,782. 6,782 in the Bible is perhaps a snare, a trap. And what a snare trap does is it turns us upside down. You can see here the Groundhog Day is upside down in the matrix. And the upside down representation is the understanding of what St. Peter's cross is, or the crucifixion of St. Peter, which he asked to be crucified upside down, which would be the rock that Jesus would build his church on, is the understanding that we are born upside down into this world and need to be turned upright. So Phil here is going to Punxsutawney, getting turned upside down into Earth. And in order for him to get out, he's going to have to go through the 33 again, the life and death ascension process. So when Phil arrives in Punxsutawney, Rita sets him up to stay at a bed and breakfast. And this is the first outside scene of the bed and breakfast that Phil wakes up in every morning. And the scene starts at exactly 7 minutes and 30 seconds. And again, we can ignore the zero that gives us the number 73. The number 73 matches Egypt, kingdom, living, sacrifice, and time god. In Chaldean, it also matches angel within the garden, and it also matches beginning of the end. 73 is a special number. It's a twin number with the number 37. And for those of you interested, the Big Bang Theory has done an interesting representation of that. You can find it on YouTube about the most important number being 73. 73 on the periodic table of elements is the element tantalum with an atomic weight of 180. 180 is a representation of turning around. And you can see here that the element tantalum was named after King Tantalus. And Tantalus's story is often viewed as a moral lesson about the dire consequences of offending the gods and the dangers of excessive pride and hubris, which is precisely what Phil Connors has at the beginning of the movie. In one scene, Rita tells him that his ego, his narcissistic behavior is his defining characteristic. When Phil wakes up, he comes downstairs and he meets the lady of the house, which is Mrs. Lancaster. Lancaster means river of the moon. So she has a moon symbolism attached to her here. And in the scene, he's describing the weather because he thinks she's asking about the weather, and he's sort of gesturing with his hands about the coming of the weather and the storm. But on in the background, on the wall, we can see the symbolism there for a double cross and a frame. And the words "framed" and "double crossed" sum to 88. And not only that, but when Phil leaves the bed and breakfast every morning, and he gets into town, he rounds the corner where there's an old man begging for some change, and right behind him is the store called Frames. So there's definitely some framing and double crossing going on here. But the double cross representation we also see at the Vatican from the sky. You can see here this is St. Peter's Basilica, St. Peter being crucified upside down, and the building is in the shape of a cross. The upright cross of Christ is within a locked keyhole, and in the middle of it is the frame, and within it is this odd-looking shape that I noticed shows up in the movie as well. Phil, at one point in the movie, decides he's going to rob an armored car, and the sign on the side of the armored car is Keystone Armored Car Service, and you can see that symbolism there for the keystone. A keystone is the top stone on an archway. And then the police officer that tells him to turn around because of the blizzard, he also has the exact same keystone symbolism on the shoulder patch there, and which matches the symbolism we see between the two crosses at the Vatican. Framed and double cross being an 88 matches the atomic weight of yttrium, the 39th element on the periodic table of elements. The Y representation for the symbol of the element yttrium reminds me of the Y that we see on Jesus' crucifixion. And the artwork we see here gives us the orange circles of the Looney Tunes, and the square and the circle here representation within the orange concentric circles. So when you break down the word keystone, we see that it sums to the number 32 in Chaldean. Going to the periodic table of elements, we see that 32 is the element germanium, the GE element, the first couple letters for Jesus. It also has an atomic weight for 72. 72 is tied to the 72 angels and demons, or the 72 names of God. And germanium was used in early transistors similar to the one featured here. So this is the artwork for the periodic table of elements. It appears to me that it's on a mirror. There's a break in one of the legs. It looks like it's a mirrored reflection. But transistors is a type of semiconductor device that conduct and insulate electric current or voltage. It acts as a switch and an amplifier, regulating or controlling the flow of electronic signals. Typically, a transistor consists of three layers or terminals, three being the number of the Trinity. Looking to the Chaldean to get an understanding of the number 32, we see here that it matches the words Most High, God's Son, the Christ, anointed, flawless, I love him, worship, the Trinity, I'm immortal. So we see a lot of Jesus references here with the number. The great work, turning lead into gold, the Bible code, decoding, forgive, real love, restored, resurrect, the cross, inverted, equilibrium, original sin, the virgin, judgment, out of time, the license plate from Back to the Future, enslaved, looper, another time travel movie with Bruce Willis, and hellfire, which is a word that comes up in our decode a little later when Phil meets Ned. From down to up is 180, so that's the goal of our soul's journey here, is to turn our soul from down to up, or take the down cross of Peter that we're born on and turn it to the upright cross of Christ, giving us the 180 degrees to turn quite around. The word key is a number 8, matching Rita, Mary, and Isis. And we see here I did some AI artwork showing the key going into a keyhole with the wonderful treasure sitting in behind it. And interesting, the ChatGPT put a number 8 on the key. I thought that was kind of neat. And the words "use the key" sum to 119, which is a number we see very, very much so in this decode. Looking at the next slide, We see here that it's exactly at 10 minutes and 19 seconds. And this is the very, very first moment that the audience sees Ned. One thing that inspired me to do this decode was I recently saw a TikTok video sent to me by a friend that suggested that Ned is the devil in Groundhog Day. And I wanted to kind of examine that further. And when I did that, the word Ned sums to 14 in Chaldean, matching Satan, so that was an easy match. And then Phil, here we see an image from IMDb.com, and Bill Murray plays the character Phil. Phil is 17 in Chaldean, matching the word angel in Chaldean. 17 also matches the star card in the tarot deck, and an angel is a star, so that's an interesting match. Again, we can ignore the zero from the 1019, and that gives us the number 119 again, matching all-seeing eye. It also matches lost sheep, and it also matches falling angels. Now, Ned comes up to Phil, and he tells him that he remembers him, and Phil doesn't remember him at all. But one of the things Ned says to him, he goes, "I sure as heck fire remember you." Sort of downplaying the hell reference here. The words "I sure as heck fire" match the number, or summed the number 52, matching prison planet in Chaldean, also matching Earth in English. And then when Phil decides he's had enough of Ned and tries to walk away from him, Ned chases him, saying, "You know, when I see an opportunity now, I charge it like a bull. Ned the Bull. That's me now." And you can see there, as he's saying those words, he's giving us the devil horn hand signs, which we see here from Anton LaVey in the Church of Satan, famously did all the time. And here's a bull symbol with the long horns. Now, Phil turns to him and says, "It's been great seeing you, Needlehead." And that reference there reminded me of Clive Barker's Hellraiser, the image there of the pinhead or the needlehead. And AI did an interesting representation here of a groundhog looking like Ned with the pins in his head. Needlehead is a 42 in Chaldean, matching Ned the Bull, matching Will of God, the Architect, Fallen Angel, the Demons, False Messiah, Soul Stealer, Crucifixion, Where Are We? We're in the Land of Oz, Wonderland, in an Artificial Matrix, in Dreams in Digital, Repetition, Reincarnation, Samsara's Wheel, and the number 93 sums to 42. We're going to see the number 93 come up in our decode in a little bit. And 42 is a representation of Pi, like I mentioned before. So Needlehead being a 42 and Ned the Bull being a 42 is an interesting connection. So Ned arrives at the Groundhog Day festivals, and here we see one of the members of the inner circle, the gentleman in the top hats. And this scene is at 14 minutes and 20 seconds, and we can see that the gentleman is taking the scroll, the unrolled scroll, and reading it out. And like I said, Phil, the groundhog here is named Punxsutawney Phil. Bill Murray's name is Phil in the movie, so they're analogous of the same thing. And so when they're talking about the groundhog, they're actually talking about Bill Murray's character, Phil. So he says here, "This February 2nd at 7:20 and 30 seconds." So the number 7:20 in the Bible is to deny, to say no. And it is used of followers of Jesus who, for fear of death or persecution, deny that Jesus is their master and desert his cause, to disown him. But on the other hand, it's also of Jesus denying that one is his follower. And that matches the verse Luke 13:25, "When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are." The number 30 matches Father, a worshiper of him, God. So what's happening here is the inner circle is unrolling the scroll, and every morning they're reading out that Phil has denied Christ, denied God, and that Christ has closed the door on him which is doomed to repeat another day in Punxsutawney. Here's an example where Phil denies Christ. The second day, Phil arrives at the same festival. He's freaking out here because he's living the same day for the second time. And he asks Rita, he says, "Rita, do me a favor. I need someone to give me a good hard slap in the face." And she slaps him a good one. And Rita says, "How's that?" Phil replies, "Good." Larry, the cameraman, says, "If you need any help with the other cheek, let me know. I'm right here." And Phil gives him a dirty smirk as if to deny that ridiculous idea. And what Larry here is referencing is one of Jesus' primary teachings about turning the other cheek from Matthew 5:39. "But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also." So here's a perfect example of Phil denying Christ, dooming him to repeat another day in Punxsutawney. So at the end of the second day, Phil ends up taking a cold shower for the second time. And right after he takes the cold shower, actually on the first night, Phil takes the cold shower and gets out and speaks to Mrs. Lancaster, asking her if there's any hot water. And she says, "No, not on today," which is interesting. And then on the second night, he forgets about the cold shower, has a second one, and then gets on the phone right away. So the scene cuts from the shower to him on the phone, and the first words out of his mouth, he says, "Yeah, sport, I know there's a blizzard." And the time on the clock on the right hand side of the screen is at 4:04. 4:04 in the Bible means to cool again, to refresh one's spirit by fellowship, consolation, and kindness, to cool off, to revive oneself, to refresh oneself. Right there. So the words cold body is an 80, and what I think is going on here is every day in the movie is a representative of one lifetime, and the cold shower is a representation of him dying at the end of the night, becoming cold in the winter. As we see here, life and death is the same. This is the same word upside down, life and death, giving us the infinity sign there for the number 8, matching cold body. But when he wakes up in the bedroom, we see the frosty window there, and the frosty window is an eyeball. It's the all-seeing eye that we see on the back of the $1 bill. Again, all-seeing eye is a 119. And then they show us the time on the clock being 5:59. 5:59 in the Bible means to boast self, to say, used with great latitude, to challenge, to give commandment. And then at 6 o'clock, when the clock strikes 6, it means to restore, to give back. It means to restore to its original position. So what are the odds here that the time on the clock matches exactly what we're seeing in the movie, that he's getting restored back to his original position every morning at 6 o'clock? So Phil takes Rita to the diner, and he's trying to explain to her that he's living out these every day over and over again. And Rita is sort of giving him not really paying attention, and she says to the waitress, "These sticky buns are just heaven." And as she's saying that, her finger is pointing directly down at her private area there. "These sticky buns are just heaven" is a 101 in Chaldean. And that matches fornication, the bait and the trap, being 101. Also matching twin double X life force harvester, also being a 101. And we see lots of twin X symbolism in this movie, representation of the matrix, the twin female system that runs this. Matrix being the word womb in the Bible. So here we see the twin X symbolism on the pillar as they're building a snowman. And when Phil is on his way into Punxsutawney at the beginning of the movie, you can see the double X symbolism on his tie and on the van as well. The twin X symbolism is on the Action News logo here. So Phil, having lived day after day, starts to question his existence. and he gets drunk with his buddies, and he's driving them home, and he asks them, "What if there was no tomorrow?" And his buddy, the drunk man, says, "No tomorrow? That would mean there would be no consequences. There would be no hangovers. We could do whatever we wanted." And Phil says, "That's true. We could do whatever we want." And that concept of us doing whatever we want is the prime is the is goes right back to Aleister Crowley's teachings from Thelema, or the one of the primary doctrines of Satanism, called "Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law." And that sentence gives us a score of 444 in English Ordinal and a 164 in Chaldean. 444 in the Bible matches the word "alak" in Hebrew, and the word "alak" means to be corrupt morally. 164 matches the element holmium on the periodic table of elements as its atomic weight, and that is the 67th element on the periodic table. The imagery we get there is the king with the crown, and that is based on the civic coat of arms of Stockholm, the city that gives the element its name. And for those who have been following me for a while, 67 is a big number in my Church of Satan decode, and as you can see there, the number 67 matches the words "the Church of Satan." So I just want to break down where we get this phrase, "Do what thou wilt shall be the whole law." That is the central axiom in Thelema, which emphasizes personal freedom and the pursuit of one's true path while being guided by love and finding one's authentic purpose. So there's a lot of service to self here going on. It is found in the Book of the Law, which is a source book and key for Crowley students and for the occult in general. The Book of the Law was a book that was channeled to Aleister Crowley from Lamb, the demon alien gray entity that he summoned. And also the number 93. The number 93 is a very important number to the religion of Thelema. So the number 93 is one of a series of symbolic numbers that is associated with Aleister Crowley's theosophical system, Thelema. And the number 93 on the periodic tables is Neptunium, and we see there Neptunian's artwork features the pitchfork, the symbol of the devil, within a circle, and it's an eight-pointed circle if we take the rod there, the pole for the pitchfork, and even the points of the star look like little sperms within a watery background. The number 93 is very, very important. We see here that number 93, we get the number 93 is tied to the sun, as it being 93 million miles to the sun. And the other reference to 93 is Jesus, the Son of God, appears in the Bible at the 930th chapter. And again, in numerology, we can ignore the zero, giving us again the number 93. So the sun in our sky and the sun in our Bible both have the number 93 attached to them. Now, after Phil says he kind of comes to the conclusion that he can do whatever he wants in the car, the film shows us the license plate of the car. And again, we see that keystone symbol in the middle of the license plate, the license plate number ZQR5S8, in the English ordinal cipher, that is the number 93. The number 93 in English matches the words "godson," "crucifix," "heirs," "trouble," "a refuser," "castaway," "assault," "conquer," "hunting," "killings," "harvest," "satanic god," "Saturn," "the black cube," "the police," which he's getting chased by in this scene in the movie, "penalty," "end of days," and "Lancaster." Like I said earlier, that's her name, the lady of the that owns the bed and breakfast. The number 93 in Chaldean is "Crucifixion of Jesus Christ." 144, we saw that number earlier for Gobbler's Knob and the 144,000 that get redeemed in the Bible. Mene, mene, tekel, apparition, which is a phrase we've seen in the nefarious decode that I did. It's also from the Bible and is tied to the weighing of the hearts ceremony from the Egyptian lore, or the Egyptian Book of the Dead. Abomination of desolation, which is the destruction of the temple or human body. And the number 93 in the Bible is the word injustice, unrighteousness, hurt. It's properly the opposite of justice, unrighteousness, as a violation of God's standards, which brings divine disapproval, which is exactly what's going on here in the movie, as he decides that he can do whatever he wants. So he's driving away and he turns onto some railway tracks, and there's a train coming towards him, and some obvious numbers flash in the movie here, 6244. 6244 in the Bible means to waste away, to be eaten of moth, properly to be moth-eaten, to be dark. My eye is wasted from grief, which to be moth-eaten is precisely the transmutation of angels into locusts in the pit. And that's what's going on here. He's becoming morally corrupt, and he's doomed at this point. So he's basically, from this point in the movie, he decides that he can do whatever he wants, and he decides that he can basically perform the seven deadly sins, which are greed, lust, sloth, wrath, gluttony, envy, and pride. And those seven deadly sins sum to the number 145 in Chaldean, matching Prometheum on the periodic table of elements, the element named after Prometheus, who is a titan of Greek mythology, who stole fire from the gods and gave it to the humans. That's very similar to the story of Lucifer that we get in the Bible. 61, Prometheum, is the 61st element on the periodic table. We break that down with the Chaldean cipher to get some further insight, and we see that 61 matches the words message from hell, the gates of hell, burnt offerings, book of the dead, over and over again, Day of Atonement, and love is the answer. And we can see here on the artwork from the Royal Society of Chemistry the hellish imagery of Prometheum going through his torture and having his I believe it's his liver eaten out by an eagle. So we hear and see here in one of the following scenes, we see Phil is at the diner, and he's consuming all the food in front of him, showing us his gluttony. And Rita appears disgusted with him, and she quotes a poem from Sir Walter Scott called Breeze There the Man. And this part of the poem she quotes, she says, "The wretch, concentred all in self, living shall forfeit fair renown, and doubly dying shall go down to the vile dust from whence he sprung, unwept, unhonored, and unsung." The wretch is the number 39 in Chaldean, matching the sum total of Lucifer that we get from the Hebrew spelling of Lucifer in the Bible. 39 is also pride and hubris in Chaldean, and time loop. It's also I Got You Babe sums the 39, which is the song on the radio every time that his alarm goes off at 6 o'clock in the morning. The song sings, "I Got You Babe." I thought it was interesting that the movie was released on February 12th of 1993, and there we see the number 93 reference again. And February 12th, using the Cards of Destiny system, we see that February 12th is a King of Diamonds day, and the King of Diamonds is the master of higher values and is also the 39th card of the deck. So there's a big reference here to Lucifer going on in regards to this movie, and the number 39 and the number 93, it's mirror as well. So one of the following scenes, we see here that Phil is going to the movies dressed up as a cowboy, and the movie he's going to see is at the Alpine Theater, and the movie is called Heidi 2. And I did a little research on this movie. The movie doesn't exist, but the movie Heidi exists. And it's an older movie that starred Shirley Temple. And Shirley Temple played an 8-year-old Heidi, who was an orph who was orphaned, and she had her selfish aunt, a maternal aunt, that took her to the mountains to live with her grumpy old outcast survivalist paternal grandfather. So we're getting this female goddess and male god reference here within the description of the movie. Heidi brings her grandfather back into mountain society through her angelic ways. So again, we get another angel reference going on, and that she knows that someday she'll be reunited with him and the beloved people of the mountain little village. And the impression I get is that the mountain is the symbol, being on top of the mountain, the symbol for heaven, that she's fallen, and she wants to climb back up into heaven here. The keywords on the bottom of the storyline from IMDb shows orphan, goat, which I thought was interesting because there's no goat reference in the synopsis here, and the Alps. Heidi too sums to 18 in Chaldean, matching Jesus, 18 in Chaldean. And after Phil goes through and does these seven deadly sins and realizes that he tries to commit suicide, and he just realizes he can't die. He keeps waking up over and over and over again. And Punxsutawney, he's back in the diner, and he's telling Rita here. He says to her that I am a god, not the god. I am an immortal. And interestingly enough, the plants in behind him here are called mother-in-law's tongue, which is another reference to perhaps another maternal reference or female goddess reference. As Rita here is representing she runs the Punxsutawney. She's the ruler of it. I am immortal sums to 139 in English, which matches Groundhog Day at 139. And we learn here in the Bible, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, where it tells us that we are gods. Jesus here is about to get stoned. And he says to the people who are going to stone him, he says, "Is it not written in your law, I said you are gods?" And he's referring to the law being the Torah or the Old Testament. And what he's actually referencing is Psalms 82:6, where it says, "I have said you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High." So in Strong's Concordance, this verse, Psalms 82:6, the word gods breaks down into the Hebrew word 430 that we saw at the original part, at the beginning of the decode, which is Elohim. So Jesus is telling us here that we are the Elohim. So Phil decides he's going to turn around. He's going to do his 180 degrees, and he's going to start to become a better person. One of the first things he does is he decides he's going to go get piano lessons. So as he's going up to the music teacher's house and he's knocking on the door, the time of the movie here is 1 hour and 17 minutes. It's a 11:07 reference or a 7:11 reference, and the number 7:11, not only is it being as a convenience store, is also the reference to the pyramids of Giza and the ratio of the Great Pyramid being 11 base with 7 height. And not sure if everybody knows, but a piano is also a reference to pi. Not only is the word piano piano, but a piano has 88 keys on it, and we play our piano with our two hands, and there's 28 finger bones in our two hands, 14 in each hand, 14 phalanges, giving us a total of 28, and 88 divided by 28 gives us pi, or piano. And we can see here the address for the music teacher is 348, and the number 348 in the Bible means to hinder, right there. It means to beat back as the course of a ship. So if you're steering a ship and you turn around, you would go the opposite direction, where the proceeding shows that Paul was thinking of an obstructed road. So he's turning around, the pathway is blocked, pursuing a path of gluttony and the seven deadly sins. Phil's not getting out of Groundhog Day here. He's not getting out of Punxsutawney, so he decides to turn 180 degrees and go in the opposite direction. The other interesting part is that it seems like he's the reference to pi that he's learning piano here is he's starting to learn the importance of numbers and the symbolic representation of numbers here. Perhaps he's it's another representation of him studying Kabbalah or the sacred geometry or something like that. You can see here he's as he's becoming a better person, he's now doing the opposite of the seven deadly sins, called the seven heavenly virtues. And those seven heavenly virtues are charity, chastity, diligence, patience, temperance, gratitude, and humility. And summing those up both in English and Chaldean, we get two different numbers. The number in Chaldean we get is 198. 198 in the Bible means I learn carefully, I inquire with exactness. And the number 652 is the English sum of the seven heavenly virtues, and 652 in the Bible is a messenger, one sent on a mission, an apostle, especially a man sent out by Jesus Christ himself to preach the gospel, an apostle. Interesting that both those definitions in the Bible match what happens when we follow those seven heavenly virtues. And we can see here that Phil is carving an angel. Again, here's another angel reference we see in the movie, out of ice and the frozen water, the cold water reference again that we saw earlier with the cold shower is coming up again. Or the winter reference for Phil spending six more weeks in winter. So this time, after Phil has sort of turned around and he's following the seven heavenly virtues, and he runs into Ned again. This time, instead of denying Ned, he gives Ned a hug and shows him or displays to him some unconditional love. And he tells him, "I have missed you so much," and he gives him a hug. And again, this is this specific time of the movie is 1 hour and 19 minutes. So here we have another 119 reference with Ned. And on the back window behind Phil's head, we hear it says, "Established in 1919. S is the 19th letter of the alphabet. So there's an SS reference that we see there that we've seen before from the Germans in the Second World War. And 1919 in the Bible means of the earth, belonging to the earth as opposed to the sky. So these are the opposite of angels, and it's showing here that he's established of the earth. 119 is the all-seeing eye, as we've seen before, and 119 in Chaldean is the great architect of the universe, a description of God that is used by the Freemasons here. And there's some AI artwork of the all-seeing eye with the serpent eye that I made. So after Phil learns to play piano and he becomes the hero of the town, he goes up for this bachelor auction, and some of the ladies in the crowd start bidding on him, and Rita outbids them all, and she decides that she's gonna hold up her wallet there, and she bids $339.88. And again, we get the number 88 reference that we've seen earlier, similar to Back to the Future. But the number 339 in the Bible means to set up. So it's looking like she's setting him up here for something. And what I think she's setting him up for is the number 88, which means incessant and unceasing, unremitting. No unnecessary gaps in space or time, as often as required. Perhaps she's setting him up here to continue life here in Punxsutawney. We'll have to see how the end of the movie goes. So after she's bought him, and they're trying to exit the auction, they run into Ned, and Phil introduces Rita to Ned, and he says, "Rita, this is Ned Ryerson. He's my new insurance agent." And Ned replies, "I'll say, I have not seen this guy for 20 years. He comes up to me, and then he buys whole life term, Uniflex, fire, theft, auto, dental, health, with the optional death and dismemberment plan, water damage. Phil, this is the best day of my life. Phil replies, mine too. And Rita says, mine too. Ned then asks them, where are we going? As if they're all going somewhere. And Rita says, oh, let's not spoil it. Like, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And then Ned goes, oh, I got that. Row. And that's an interesting reference after the breakdown we saw there, where she's setting him up to stay here in Groundhog Day in the 88. She doesn't want to spoil it, is an interesting reference. The number 20 is a representation of desire in Chaldean. And the choice that Phil's making here is he's choosing Rita rather than Christ. And we'll see here in John 10:1, says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. So Phil's done all of this great work. He's become a good person. He's followed the seven heavenly virtues. But yet he still hasn't, there's no reference here where Phil has taken Christ and Jesus as his savior. And that doesn't mean that he's going to be able to exit Punxsutawney. Psalm 32:25 says, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Showing us that on earth here, there's no one else that we should desire other than the Lord. And in Matthew 10:37, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And what we're seeing there is back to the reference of the inner circle in the outer world school, where Jesus would deny us if we love the creation more than the creator, and realizing that father, mother, son, or daughter are just creations of the creator, and worshiping the creation is like worshiping the false idols, which won't get us out of Groundhog Day. So when they wake up the next morning, Phil finally makes it to tomorrow. And he's kind of freaking out, and he rolls over and he sees that Rita's there with him, and he asks her what she's doing there. And she tells him, she goes, I bought you, I own you. And Rita's playing the role of the devil here in this movie, and so is Ned. They both are. And the reference here that she owns him matches what we learn in Colossians 2:14. And where it says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. The word handwriting in the Strong's Concordance, when we break that down, breaks down to the Greek word 5498, meaning manuscript, record of debts. It is something handwritten, a chirograph. Now, a chirograph is what we see here on the left. It is an ancient contract, and they used to write an identical contract on one side of the paper and the other, and cut it with a zigzag pattern in the middle, so that the debtor would have one copy and the debtee would also have another copy, and the debt wouldn't be settled until the two halves would come back together. And what Colossians 2:14 is saying here is that when we take Christ as our Savior, that he blots out this contract that we are owned by Lucifer, Satan, the devil here in this world, that we're owned by law. We're under his law until we take Christ. And that's what the chirograph represents. It's a legal document or bond. The words, I bought you, I own you, sum to 265 in English. We look to the Bible in Strong's Concordance, and 265 in the Bible means a fault, a sin, an evil deed. It means emphasizes the consequences of making any decision by self rather than of faith. So we can see here that he chose Rita. And we saw there that 139 in the Bible means a choice. So this entire movie is about Phil's choice, and he chooses to his desire rather than his love of Christ, and that that he ends up getting bought and owned by Rita at the end of the movie. Although he does make it to tomorrow, you'll see here that he doesn't get to leave Punxsutawney. Interestingly, the time on the clock is 601, so it's showing that it's he's made it to tomorrow. And the number 601 in the Bible has interesting meanings in both the Greek and the Hebrew. In Greek, the word 601 means I uncover, I bring to light, I reveal. And it's uncovering, revealing what is hidden, that is veiled, that is obstructed, especially its inner makeup, particularly what is immaterial or invisible. And what's invisible here is that Rita is the bad guy in this movie, as she buys him and owns him and was setting him up the whole movie. It also means 601 in Hebrew means a ceremonially unclean bird. And I thought that was interesting because birds are often symbols of angels. Birds and angels share a bond because both symbolize the beauty of spiritual growth. Birds are known messengers of angels or spirits who have passed. And that's the summarizer from AI on the Brave search engine. Both birds and angels are often seen as messengers, spiritual messengers. This is from ChatGPT. Birds are seen as symbols of the human soul, with their ability to soar towards the heavens being analogous to the spirit to spiritual ascension, a concept also associated with angels. So we can see here that he got bought, he got owned, he made it tomorrow, but he's an unclean bird. He didn't quite make it out of Groundhog Day. And we see that here when he the eggs at the bed and breakfast, and Phil says to Rita, he says, "Let's live here. We'll rent to start." So he decides to stay in Punxsutawney, and "Let's live here" is a 140 in English, and "We'll rent to start" is a 58 in Chaldean. 58 in Chaldean matches Puppet Master, Luciferian Agenda, New World Order, and Died on a Cross, and 140 is the element cerium in the periodic table, also with a 58th element. So we have "Let's live here" 140 matching the atomic weight of cerium, and "We'll rent to start" matching the number of protons cerium has of 58. And cerium is named for the asteroid Ceres, which in turn was named after the Roman goddess of agriculture, of the harvest. The image is based on the asteroid Ceres, after which the element is named. The background is based on an early 17th century astronomical map, a star map. And the number 17 we know is tied to the concept of an angel and a star in the tarot deck. So it's a pretty interesting representation. And Matthew 7:3, and I'll leave you with this verse from the Bible, Matthew 7:23. "And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work in iniquity." So we can see here the concept of Jesus denying Phil here, and he's doomed to stay in Punxsutawney. He never leaves. So I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you all and I hope you liked my first video, and I hope that there'll be more. All the best.